Hello there, Dan Dillman, your host of A Little This, A Little That, is here again. And I want to talk to you today, first of all, about the boredom economy. Yes, the pandemic is terrible. It can also be tedious. And that tedium is shaping how people spend money. Mark Hawkins is an expert on being bored. When he was getting his counseling degree, he was fascinated by articles on the therapeutic benefits of boredom. He was writing a book whose title is The Power of Boredom. And in his spare time, he liked to sit on his couch and stare out the window. He said, it's very difficult, but I do try to be bored as much as possible. Yet during the pandemic, even Mr. Hawkins, who lives in British Columbia, has at times gotten bored being bored. Desperate for some stimulation, he has turned to Amazon, where he orders mainly books. He says, I'm getting things delivered within a few hours of ordering them. In terms of how it's affecting the economy, we are wanting to buy more and more and more because a lot of us are bored at home. So we're online shopping. There are many readily available ways to assess how the coronavirus pandemic has affected the economy. The pandemic has decimated the labor market, driving unemployment rate to 6.3% in January, which was nearly twice what it was a year earlier. Restrictions on activities led Americans to spend less money, pushing the savings rate to extraordinary heights. As people have fled to places with more space and fewer people, home prices have surged. Another way the pandemic has had an impact on the economy is by making people bored. By limiting social engagements, leisure activities, and travel, the pandemic has forced many people to live a more muted life. Without the normal deviations from daily monotony, the result is a collective sense of ennui, one that is shaping what we do, what we buy, and even how productive we are. Because we're spending so much time at home, we're investing more in the home, and the things that we're investing in are things to keep ourselves busy. Boredom's impact on the economy is under-researched, possibly because there has been no modern situation like this one. But many people agree that it's an important one. How people spend money is a reflection of their emotional state. The answer to, how are you? In Amazon packages and Target receipts. The Consumer Confidence Index is an economic indicator that in part gauges optimism about the future. A related measure that might help predict market volatility or home improvement trends, a boredom index is possible. Among the most vivid recent examples of boredom's economic influence occurred last month when amateur traders, many of them followers of the Reddit forum Wall Street Bets, piled into shares of GameStop, a down-for-the-count retailer for gamers. These investors pushed the stock to astronomical heights before it crashed back to earth. And part of their motivation was the idea that they could stick it to the hedge funds, which had bet that GameStop would fail. Part of it was boredom. I'm bored. I have $8,000 in free money. What can I invest in that will make at least a little profit? A Reddit user wrote on a Wall Street Bets at the height of the stock market frenzy. The response was unanimous. GameStop. The House Financial Services Committee held a contentious hearing on the GameStop saga. The focus was on the market volatility and the stock trading, but some witnesses acknowledged that they may have found themselves in this situation because people had a lot of time on their hands. Listing several factors that could have lured amateur traders to the public markets, Jennifer Sculp, Director of Financial Regulation Studies at the Cato Institute, testified that more time at home during the pandemic probably even played a role. Of course, millions of people have been busier than ever during the pandemic. Nurses, grocery store employees, and other essential workers have hardly experienced lockdown tedium. Women who have left the workforce to take care of children who cannot go to school are frequently exhausted and overwhelmed. Their days, a stream of Zoom classes and dinners and bedtimes. A huge number of families are mourning loved ones, a painful and jarring change. Boredom, in some ways, is a luxury experienced by those who have unfulfilled and unfillable time. And some groups of people are more likely to experience boredom than others. People who live alone, for instance, are more likely to be bored. According to Daniel Heimermisch, an economist at Barnard College, who has studied loneliness during the pandemic, the real burden's going to be on people who are single, who are by themselves, he said. The boredom-loneliness nexus has got to be pretty close, I would think. Boredom is often a signal that something does not feel meaningful. Emotions act as these quick automatic signals that provide feedback for what we're doing. In boredom's case, it's a way that our body and mind are alerting us that something is wrong. The pandemic, however, limited what we can do to make things right. Nearly a quarter of people who were employed in January teleworked or worked from home because of the pandemic. Foot traffic at places go to entertain themselves, like movie theaters, restaurants, and museums. This kind of traffic plummeted by more than 50% in the early days of the pandemic lockdowns, and remains roughly 25% below pre-pandemic levels. The U.S. National Pandemic Emotional Impact Report, which was a study conducted last May, found that 53% of those surveyed said that they were more bored during the pandemic than before it. And feeling bored may result in different kinds of behaviors, like increasing novelty seeking and increasing reward sensitivity. That would be a possibility. If you are looking at the pros and cons of a decision, it's making those pros more salient. It can also increase risk-taking and impulsivity. It makes people want to seek out not just something else to do, but something meaningful to do. The swirl of reactions to boredom can help explain the GameStop phenomenon. Investing in the stock was not just an act that felt engaging, powered by a propensity for taking risks and the excitement of reward, but also something that felt meaningful. For many traders, it was a form of protest. Investing as a way of coping with pandemic boredom has also fueled an amateur day trading boom much more broadly. New accounts at online brokers like E-Trade, Charles Schwab, and Robinhood exploded. But like all emotions, boredom provides us not just with information to act on, it also works through anticipation. With boredom, which is generally considered a bad feeling, we may be making certain decisions during the pandemic about what we buy or do, for instance, in the hopes of staving it off. Early in the pandemic, bread-making fervor prompted stores across the country to sell out yeast. Puzzle sales have skyrocketed. Gardening has taken off as a hobby. Scotts Miracle-Gro sales increased more than 30% during the fiscal year that ended last September, a record $4 billion. A lot of people working in the yard. The newfound interest in lockdown gardening spurred the company to run its first Super Bowl commercial. You may have seen it. Home improvement, too, has boomed. 81% of the consumers in the United States purchased home improvement products in the 6 months that ended in November. Sherwin-Williams said that it had record sales in the fourth quarter and for the year, in part because of strong performances in its do-it-yourself and residential repaint businesses. Pandemic boredom evidently has nothing on watching paint dry. There has also been an increase in sales of things like video games. These keep us occupied, as well as things to help relieve the stress of the pandemic and perhaps boredom from being at home, including self-help books, candles, and messaging appliances. Sales of loaf pans jumped nearly 60% last year. Boredom may be driving people to more self-destructive behavior as well. Though even that has economic implications. A study in September by American Addiction Centers, a study entitled Booze versus Boredom, reported that one third of those surveyed said that boredom during the pandemic had prompted them to drink much more, and alcohol sales soared. It's possible that not being bored during certain periods of the day is also making people less productive. This, according to Ben Weeks, who is a senior advisor for behavioral economics team of the Australian government. And he's a co-founder of a behavioral science app called Peak. Research has shown that mind wandering, an activity that can happen during periods of boredom, can result in greater productivity. But during the pandemic, some of the best opportunities for mind wandering, likely the daily commute to work, have been lost for the millions of people who are now working from home. Pandemic boredom, however, could also be reorienting the economy. According to Sandy Mann, a psychologist who has written a book entitled The Science of Boredom, he said that boredom could lead people and businesses to become more creative. That's what downtime and boredom does, she said. It forces us to think differently, because that's what we do when we have time to think. Enjoy a break now for a moment or two, and I'll be right back. It's the middle of February, and it's time for spring training. Baseball season is just ahead, and I thought it was appropriate to add a few baseball items in today's program. Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and other Black Stars have passed away. But Mookie Betts, the Dodgers outfielder, can still inspire a new generation of Black players. Hank Aaron, for example, wasn't just a baseball legend. His death in January, just days before Black History Month began, was very much of a loss for our Major League Baseball community because of his contributions as a home run king and the picture of his longevity. But Aaron was also a black star in a time when public acts of racism were all too common. His life inspired millions of young blacks and brown players. And his death has led to questions about the next great black baseball player. Who will it be? Well, since Aaron retired in 1976, and Willie Mays retired 3 years before then, there has been Reggie Jackson and Tony Gwynn and Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. But now, who do we have? Enter Mookie Betts. The 28-year-old outfielder for the Brooklyn Dodgers formerly and the Los Angeles Dodgers now. In case you didn't know, the name Dodgers is taken from the term early in the century. They used to be called the Trolley Dodgers. Well, the 28-year-old outfielder for the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, has the personality, the attitude, and of course, the game to be the sport's leading star. And with declining participation, from 18% in 1976 down to 8% in 2020 of African Americans in baseball, there's never been a better time for a new black icon to appear. And last season, black players made up 8% or 80 players of major leagues' expanded 30-man rosters, injured lists, and restricted lists on opening day. This according to an analysis by USA Today newspaper. In 2019, Major League Baseball had a black population of 7.7%. But there are plans for that to change. Rodgie Davis, who played 14 seasons of Major League Ball, plans to change this as a senior director of on-the-field operations. And he's suggesting that Mookie Betts will be the new icon. Betts is a four-time All-Star, a five-time Gold Glove winner, and he's competing in the nation's second biggest market, and therefore can play a big role and boosting the participation of black children. He can be the face of baseball because he has all the attributes, said Davis. It's just capitalizing, influence young black men to begin playing baseball and hope for the major leagues. And now we have just a few quick projections as to where the teams will finish this year. I don't mind going out on a limb. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. In the American League, it looks like New York, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston, and Baltimore in the Eastern Division. But in the Central Division, how about the White Sox, Chicago White Sox, and Minnesota, almost neck and neck. Then Cleveland, Kansas City, and unfortunately, my Detroit Tigers at the bottom. And the western part of the American League, it'll be Houston and Oakland, and then Los Angeles Angels, Seattle Mariners, and the Texas Rangers bringing up the rear. But in the National League, many of the listeners will probably be curious about the Central Division of the National League. Well, I'm picking St. Louis this year, followed by Milwaukee. And you'll say, well, where are the Cubs? Well, the Cubs are going to be fighting it out with Cincinnati to stay ahead of Pittsburgh, who will finish last. Please don't call the station because you're angry about the Cubs on this. But in the Eastern Division of the National League, I think Atlanta, New York, Washington, Philadelphia, and Miami in that order. And in the Western Division, it'll be the Dodgers, San Diego, Arizona, San Francisco, and Colorado bringing up the rear. And so there you have it, the proof of whether I was right or wrong. Last year, there were a few surprises, and there always are. Well, as we look at the clock, it's about time for us to pack it up for another program. And until next time, this is Dan Dillman, your host, asking you to be safe out there. It's important to me for you to be safe. I don't want to lose my audience. I enjoy having you here. So wear your mask. Keep your social distance. That helps all of us. Have a good day, my friends. Tune in to A Little of This, A Little of That at 101.5. And I'll be waiting for you there. See you soon, I hope. Goodbye.